This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody. I'm Ben.
I'm Ashley.
This is a big day. I'm sitting here in my house right now. Sorry. I'm messing with my microphone. If I sound clear, it's because we are really upgrading on our podcast technology. And now for the rest of our podcasting future, I should be clear because of everybody's comments saying, get Ben off the cell phone, get him in studio. So what would we do? We bought a studio and we moved it to Denver.
Thank heavens.
It's nice. It's good to hear your clear voice, Ashley.
Yeah, it's good. It's better to hear your clear voice.
I'm a little stuffy today. I'm going to sniffle a little bit. It's allergy season in Denver, Colorado, and it is absolutely killing me.
Yeah, we know. You that was the Ben Bitches allergy season.
Yeah. Well, and it didn't go away. So I don't know. I expected these bitching segments to actually go somewhere and make a difference in the world, but
that's so great.
I haven't gone away yet. Ashley,
yes.
I'm also sore. I just got to tell you about me a little
Oh
bit.
My God, we need to talk about how you did a marathon yesterday.
Yeah, my mom and I did together. It's pretty awesome.
Ben, tell me everything. Marathons are mind-boggling to me because back in high school, we had to do 2.5 miles. That was what you... If you did 2.5 miles in 20 minutes, then you got an A. And I suffered through that. So how did you do? Is it 20, almost 26?
Oh, so I do sprints. So I do 13 mile sprints. So it's they're half marathons.
Oh, you did a half marathon. Okay.
Yeah. So I did 13 miles yesterday, trying to get my personal record. My goal was to be below 7 minutes and 30 seconds. I actually got my goal. I went 7 minute and 20 second miles. On average, which is pretty good for me. My mom, who's 55, did 8 minute 30 second miles for 13 miles. I'd say that's pretty good.
It's so amazing. I can see doing that for 2 miles.
Yeah.
Not 13.
I'm hurting today. Really bad. You know who was there randomly?
Huh.
Dan Cox.
Oh, yeah. You took a picture with him.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know he was going to be out there, but he was repping his Metcon supplements, which are incredible, by the way. I took them before the race. And he ended up doing the race. He could literally watch me run the whole time, which I think was part of his plan.
Well, he does. What are those things called? The man things?
Iron Man.
Iron Man.
Yeah. Oh, he does the man things.
Which, you know, if I can't even conceptualize a marathon, I'm mind blown by yeah. Iron Man.
Yeah, it's wild. Honestly, today my legs feel like concrete. I feel like I have the flu just because of all the lactic acid that's built up in my system.
Uh-huh.
So I'm a little bit down and out today. Actually, I'm going to ask you to just carry this podcast, take it through, because we have a lot to talk about.
We do.
Even outside of the episode, we wouldn't be a pop culture. I think we call ourselves a pop culture Bachelor focused podcast if we didn't talk about the Garrett controversy.
Definitely something we have to cover.
You know, whenever we have a big controversy, and this is a big controversy in Bachelor Nation, we bring in one of our favorite guests, Jackie from the Hollywood Reporter. She'll fill us in on all the details, all the notes. But before we bring Jackie on, Ashley, I want to hear just a little bit. What are your initial thoughts when you heard that Garrett had liked pictures and memes on social media that were a little vulgar, called them racist, and insensitive were the words that were explained.
I would say that they are insensitive. I would say it's definitely not a good look.
No.
Do I think we should strongly judge him based on favorited things? I don't know. I do have to say, I think there's a little bit of a difference between liking things and then like creating the social media meme or tweet themselves, but it's just not a good look. And do I think that Garrett is racist?
No,
I don't think so.
I haven't met him. You know, his apology came out. We'll talk to Jackie about that. I'm with you, Ashley. I look back and I was kind of thinking through this situation, and I don't know in what context and when he liked these pictures. Hopefully he's learned his lesson. It's mm-hmm. important to learn your lesson when you make mistakes like this. But I follow some social media accounts. I know I do right now that come out with memes and pictures that are derogatory and are probably hurtful to some people, including Christians. You know, some of them are anti Christian. And I follow them because some of their stuff is informing. Some of it's funny. Some of it makes me laugh. Some of it's absolutely crazy.
Totally.
And so my question is now, and I'm looking at the listeners really to email us and their opinions on this, because we're pretty open. I think you and I talked about this earlier, and you and I both are kind of sitting here going, yes, totally incorrect and inappropriate for him to like some of these pictures. Some of them are really hurtful. There's some stuff that he liked that's like, that's not funny in any context.
Yeah, some of them kind of ha-ha. Some of them like, ooh, bad.
Bad, like terrible. And so, you know, Ashley, one thing that I think we want to get away from as a generation, and we've done tried to do on the podcast, is, you know, insensitive things, hurtful things, sinful things, we don't want to support. But we also want people to be free to express themselves, because then you can really say, do I like this person? Do I agree with this person? Do I not? You know, we don't all have to be robots. We don't all have to understand and get along with each other. We can do controversial things. And that just means that some of these people, you're going to say, I don't agree with you, and I don't really like you because of the way that you take your stance and you publicize it. I don't want us all to become the same. That's my fear. But a lot of this stuff that Garrett was liking is totally inappropriate. And so let's bring on Jackie from the Hollywood Reporter to give us more information on exactly what happened during this controversy.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Welcome back. It's always good to talk to you, but there's always a secret, like, darkness.
There's always a darkness.
We know something has happened when Jackie from the Hollywood Reporter calls in.
I know. That's why I'd like to start off by Ashley saying congrats on your happy news, and then we can dive into it.
Thank you.
Nice to hear you talking about it.
Oh, thanks.
I get to see Ashley making out everywhere now. All of my social media has pictures of Ashley and Jared just macking.
We'll cool it down soon.
Don't cool it down, Ash.
It's really hard to get Jared on video without him doing that, to be honest.
Oh my gosh. Oh. Hey, Jackie, real quick. We have a controversy in Badger Nation. One that, you know, I don't think rivals necessarily what happened last year during Paradise, but one that is definitely causing national attention and one that we should approach and talk about. Can you fill our listeners in a little bit on this Garrett controversy? And kind of his social media behavior over the last few years.
Yeah, so it came out really right after the show premiered, which is kind of unfortunate timing for Becca. Her first week of the show, this kind of took over as a week one story. But there were screen grabs showing an Instagram account that was identified as Garrett liking a series of offensive posts on Instagram. They were posts that kind of, they mocked a range of things from like feminists to undocumented immigrants to some fake news stories. So it was concerning, I think, but it wasn't entirely clear if it was his Instagram account, and it wasn't things he posted. It was just things that he liked that were shown on screen grabs. So Becca was asked about it, and she said she couldn't really speak for what someone else does on Instagram, which is definitely makes sense, but that people were entitled to their own opinions. And then later in the week, Garrett actually released a statement taking responsibility, apologizing, and saying, you know, he vowed to do better kind of both on social media and in life. And he didn't really realize the power behind, you know, double tapping on Instagram, which is kind of the interesting conversation this is all brought up over the last week.
Yeah, we're listening to this, and Ashley and I are trying to kind of dissect it, and Ashley and I are talking about our own personal experiences with this. Before I throw it over to Ashley, because she does have a story that kind of relates back to her personally, how, in your opinion, Jackie, and I know this is an opinion, so feel free to kind of pass it off here, how should we be viewing this? I mean, here's how I see it. And I could not be communicating this as clear as I want to be. Do I agree with the things that Garrett was liking? No, I don't. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's helpful. I don't think it's beneficial. I don't think it's sharing light and love with this world. But should my expectation be that just because I disagree, that I shouldn't allow others to like stuff? I mean, all it does for me is it allows me to see a better judge of character. It gives me a clearer picture of the person. And it allows me to say, okay, I either agree with this person or I don't, which I want to live in a world where I can disagree with somebody. I don't want us all to be liking and agreeing on the same things all the time. That takes away the individualism of life. And so at any level, when we look at social media now, are we all to be holding up an expectation that everybody will be liking the same thing?
I actually think that's what Becca was trying to say. And I know she's imagined in a tough position because she can't really talk about how far any of these guys make it on the season. But I think that's what she was trying to say, was that if this happened and I'm dating someone, I'm going to have a conversation about this and we'll get to the bottom of it. And people are entitled to their opinions. And that's what being in our country is about, was basically to paraphrase what she said. So I think she agrees with you there that it's a conversation. I think the unfortunate thing is just, you know, maybe it wasn't known until now. So it just brings up a whole new level of conversations, I guess.
What a terrible way to start your bachelor season. Ashley, while we have Jack on the phone here, I know you and I were talking, and learning from your mistakes and learning from the things that you do that hurt people is part of life, and it's part of us growing up and maturing, and it's something we all want to do all the time. Ashley, you have a story that kind of relates back to this. Do you mind sharing?
Yeah, so I'm thinking, you know, when you're scrolling on social media, or whether you're in the interview room during Bachelor in Paradise, as I was back in Bachelor in Paradise 3, where I definitely threw out some risque, and I have to say probably offensive things that I never meant to say with ill will. Like it wasn't deep. It was just like, oh, like that you say that'll be funny. Oh yeah, it's funny. I think it's funny. And then like you say it, and then like this guy probably going through his social media, he's like, oh, haha. He never really meant it. Like I don't think it demonstrates much of his deep character. You agree with that, Ben?
Well, I think it would be helpful. You shared with me a little bit of an example of this earlier.
So there is a difference, because there is one time, like on Bachelor in Paradise 3, I definitely said offensive things. And I thought it was funny in the moment, realized afterward that was the most immature, just like a completely like unacceptable thing to say. And I felt bad about it, seeing it back. And I was like, oh, that was bad. Oh, well, how stupid was I? I did not mean anything bad by it. However, I do think that there's like a little bit of a difference between Lee's tweets during Rachel's season, which were just blatantly racist and seemingly coming from a bad place, and him crafting them himself to Garrett, like frivolously perhaps liking these memes or whatever.
I agree with you there. I also think it's, you know, a lot of people were saying, how did the show not vet social media? And I mean, it's really hard to see what someone likes on Instagram. It's definitely different than going back and checking, you know, a Twitter feed, which shows you just, it's a different kind of activity. No, go ahead.
Something happened to me. I liked a tweet, a quote from Maya Angelou like a year and a half ago. And it was nuts the way people took that favorited tweet, and then they started this huge political discussion under like my photos on Instagram. It was amazing the power of one favorited tweet and how it could roll over onto all these different platforms. And I thought, a quote from Maya Angelou? How are people assuming my political affiliation or my beliefs based on this one simple favorited quote of hers?
Wow.
Yeah.
So here's how I think we sum this up. What was Garrett was doing, that he's apologized and he's came out and he said, hey, I don't exactly agree with the things that I was liking. And so, if all we have the basis on is his now words and his apology, then we're saying, okay, he didn't agree with the things he was liking. What is our response? And I think our response here is noticing, and for anybody out there listening, a year ago, if you would have told Garrett that his social media would have been analyzed by millions of people, he would have said, how? And you're crazy. But today that happens to him because he's entered into a world that is under a microscope. And so it just shows us the power of everything we're liking, everything we're commenting on, everything we're posting. Make sure that this stuff is filtered through your lens and your belief system. Because if Garrett is sitting here today saying, this isn't exact at all what I believe, I was just liking things, frivolously and sitting on my couch, being lazy, double tapping whatever scrolled through my feed. If that's the case, he still has to take responsibility for the things he liked. However, we also have to understand that the power of any of our thumbs nowadays has an impact. And I think that's what Garrett's noticing today. So let this be a lesson for all of us. Watch out what you say, but also filter it through the lens of, what do I actually believe? Do I actually believe in the things I'm liking? It's important to notice that.
Jackie, do you have anything to add as far as the fan Bachelor Nation response goes to his favorited stuff?
Well, I would encourage everyone to read his full statement if they haven't, just because that was somewhat unexpected that a contestant who hasn't been eliminated would speak out. So that shows you kind of the power of the situation. And I think him addressing it really helped to at least put a pause in it until everyone can hear from him again, because like you're saying, he took responsibility for it. He's not saying he agrees with everything. He is saying he wants to learn and grow from there. So I do think he's taking the right step. And then I think people should really just have to wait and see when he's able to really address it further and go into detail.
Do you foresee the show making any edits or adding in anything because of this?
I mean, that's a really good question. I mean, I imagine this will come up once you get to the end where Chris Harrison has an opportunity to edit something in or into one of the reunion specials, you know, the Men Tell All, or obviously the After the Final Rose, if it makes it that far. But that is an interesting question. They've done things like that before when it got so big that they had to address it, but this just might be, you know, his statement might have addressed it for now.
I wonder, Jackie, if somebody sits in the press, and you're going to be, you know, interested in interviewing some of the contestants as they come off the show. And I mean, from the looks of things right now, it looks like Garrett's going to be around a while. So let's assume that. I mean, we don't know. But just by him coming out with making a statement, we understand that there is a power behind what just happened, and that people, you know, that he is a main character in the show. Will the press fall back on this once he is eliminated, or if he is with Becca, if they're a couple, will they ask these questions post show? Will this get brought up?
I would. I think that they would. I don't think that just because there was a statement that there aren't still questions, just because now you've heard his side, but how does this really affect his and Becca's relationship? And will any of this play out on the show? I mean, I know the show typically doesn't really air conversations about politics, mm-hmm. which maybe should be something that changes. But Becca does seem like someone who would ask. I mean, she has said she asked the right question. She felt like she did. So whether she got the answer she needed off air or on air, you know, if they don't play out for the season, then those are definitely questions that will come up.
I do have to say that I would be disappointed if they did edit the storyline to make Garrett look more like a villain or somebody we don't want Becca to end up with because of his favorited Instagram likes. You know what I mean? I just think that would be sad. Like, don't ruin a storyline or like a love story because of this.
Yeah, she's been through enough, right?
Yeah.
What a way to start. What a way to start America's sweetest and most loved Bachelorette entering the season. Just start out with a controversy like this. Hey, but that's part of being the Bachelor, Bachelorette. You know, we talked about it all the time on this podcast. Now it's, you know, it's how she reacts. And the judgment and what makes a great Bachelorette or Bachelor is how do they react to really tough situations. And so it sounds like so far Becca has reacted publicly very well. And we'll let this thing kind of settle and see where it plays out, either on the show or post show during the press. But we know this will be a storyline. If anything, Jackie from the Hollywood Reporter is going to be quizzing Garrett and Becca at some point in this in the future on what exactly he intended to do by liking these things on social media. Jackie, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, no, you're welcome. And I did get a chance to speak to Becca actually, so have a little bit more from her on the situation, but Garrett will definitely have to remain to be seen as the season goes.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing from him.
Yeah, and thanks, guys. Great to talk to you again.
I hope you're on the podcast next time for something really great, but any more controversy in this franchise, and we might not have a podcast. So next time we talk, let's do something positive.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good to me.
All right, sounds good. See ya.
Bye.
You know, when I was a kid, Ashley, when I would say something wrong or swear or do something inappropriate, my mouth would get washed out with soap. You ever had that happen to you?
No, but I'm so interested to see how that was. How was that?
It's not fun, and it doesn't taste good, and it really doesn't clean out anything. But you know what does clean out your mouth?
Is it Quip?
Quip definitely cleans out your mouth. It's not like soap. It's actually a lot better. You can use toothpaste, and it works just as well. Let me tell you about Quip. The truth is, most of us are brushing our teeth wrong, not for long enough, and forget to change our brush heads all the time.
Jared is the worst at brushing his teeth. He's getting my new Quip.
That's disgusting.
No, I mean, like, he cleans thoroughly, but he's hurting his gums.
Oh, that's even worse. that's a traumatic impact that could last a lifetime. Make sure you get him some Quip, Ashley.
I'm going to.
Most brands are focused on selling flashy gimmicks rather than actual better brushing techniques, but not Quip. So what makes Quip so different? It sounds like Jared could learn from this. I hope he listens to this podcast. For starters, Quip is an electric toothbrush that's a fraction of the cost of the bulkier brushes, while still packing just the right amount of vibrations to help clean your teeth. Quip's built-in timer helps you clean for the dentist-recommended 2 minutes with the guiding pulses that remind you when to switch sides. Quip subscription plans are for your health alone, not just for convenience. They deliver new brush heads on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5, including free shipping worldwide. Quip also comes with a mount that suctions right to your mirror and unsticks to use as a cover for hygienic travel wherever you take your teeth. How does Ashley, where do you keep your toothbrush when you're not using Quip?
Well, when I'm not using Quip, which has this nice little thing that covers my brush so that like gross toilet flushes don't get on my toothbrush, I would normally just keep it out by the sink, by the toilet, right? But Quip is so much different because it has a protective covering.
It's true. I had a roommate back in the day, and he used to keep his toothbrush on the ground in the shower that we shared.
Ew.
It's disgusting. Yeah, and he would brush his teeth when he got in. Absolutely disgusting. I don't get some people. I don't get it. Why would you brush your teeth with my foot fungus? Everyone loves Quip. They're on Oprah's O-List, named one of the best Time's best inventions, and is the first subscription electric toothbrush accepted by the American Dental Association. Plus, they're backed by a network of 20,000 dentists and hygienists, and hundreds of thousands of happy brushers use Quip every day. If you're sitting out there and you're going, I want Jared to be better. I want Ben's old roommate to find better techniques. Hey, and maybe you personally, if you're listening, say, I want to start getting healthier, and my mouth is the start. Let me tell you how you can do it. Quip starts at just $25, and if you go to getquip.com/almostfamous right now, you'll get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/almostfamous, spelled getquip.com/almostfamous. Brush your teeth happily, cleanly, and well. Ashley, we got to go back to this Garrett controversy.
Yes.
We have a couple reader emails. And of course, we would expect those, and we're happy we have them. A lot of them aren't very kind towards Garrett. This first one here, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the first one here says, I'm bummed that Garrett is such a doucher. What's a doucher?
Come on. You know.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was thinking of the product, not the name. Okay. that's not a good thing, by the way. Okay. We get it. This isn't good. This is not a good look. I think the biggest thing here, Ashley, and if we just get honest, is I think Garrett makes it really far.
I think so, too. He's such a front runner.
Yeah, he's a first impression rose guy. If he wasn't, he'd kind of be like the Lee thing, where Lee made a huge splash with his comments on Twitter. And they were wrong. And they were terrible. But it faded, and it didn't become a main storyline post-show because he was gone way before the show ended. I think this will be a lingering, in all truth, I think this will be a storyline, even if the show doesn't show it outside of the show or hanging over the show for the rest of the season.
I think so too. And Garrett is the kind of guy that if he doesn't end up with Becca in the end, he's definitely Bachelor in Paradise material. Like, this is the kind of guy that would hang around the franchise for a while.
I agree. And so I don't know. In your opinion, if you were a publicist, how do you do damage control right now?
I think what you do is the apology that he already did, and then you kind of hope it fades away. I don't know if there's anything else you can do.
You know, there's a couple comments we have that we're sending also on his apology. Jessica says, that's some decent accountability. Good on him. Michelle says, well said. He's definitely my favorite. So it didn't change her opinion. Katie says, even though they're just likes, I personally think that you like social media shows a lot about you. This isn't even a political issue like many are trying to make it. I'm more liberal. My boyfriend is conservative. I totally get and respect that people are allowed to have different views. That's what we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. We don't all want to agree and believe on the same thing. That doesn't make life fun. However, these memes took things to a totally different level. I would agree with that. I think we all agree with that. They were hateful, disgusting, and cruel. No matter what we believe, we can still have respect for others. I greatly appreciate that Garrett apologized. I am all for second chances, and I hope this situation will educate him and help him become a more open-minded person.
I think that's perfect. I think what Katie said was everything that we think.
I completely agree. I think there's a level here. Some of these things that he was liking were like, okay, those are just political opinions. Those aren't things that we all have to agree with, right? But some of these go way beyond that. They are dark and they're hurtful, and they target certain people and certain groups of people. Those things should never be liked, and that's where I think his apology is coming from. That's why I want to hear him apologize for or just talk about. I'm going to go back to something I talk about a lot on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing about his apology that I don't like, and this is such a personal pet peeve of mine. I was thinking the other day, Ashley, one of my best friends just took a couple weeks off of work. And with that, I didn't talk to him for a few weeks. So I just want to give him space. And I'm feeling a little bit, not friendless. I have a lot of friends, but I'm missing my friend right now. And so it's allowed me to do a lot of self-reflection on how do I treat my friends? How do I treat people around me? And I notice at times in my life, and we've talked about this, you know, I do get irritable and I do get annoyed,
mm-hmm.
not because I don't like a person, just because my reaction to things typically isn't good. One of the things that annoys me the most about people, and I might need to get over this, and I need you to tell me if I do, is when they give themselves compliments. I've talked about it on this podcast.
Oh, yes, you have.
I've read Garrett's apology, and it says things, I don't have it in front of me exactly, but I remember saying things like, I am a happy person. I like to make light of the situation. I'm a good person. Those things are all great, but I could go without hearing it because I don't want to hear you call yourself a happy person. I don't want to hear you call yourself a person that likes to make light of a situation. I mean, what else are you going to do? You're going to write in there, you know, I'm a pretty dark person. I really like to make other people feel terrible about themselves. I really like to make any fun situation as little amount of fun as possible. And you know what? Everybody thinks they're a good person. Everybody. You know, people think they're good people for the craziest reasons. So I think if this is a little bit of a segment for me to express myself, I read his apology. And I think it's sincere. And I think he did take accountability. Those are the two things that I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to be honest. I did get annoyed with the self-commentary. I don't like that. I think it's – am I crazy for this?
No, I don't think so. I just – I don't think you have to describe yourself in an apology. I don't know. I can't elaborate on it, but you're right.
I mean, does it annoy anybody else out there? I want you – if it does, please email us at benandashley@iheartmedia.com. I mean, honestly, I need to hear from you because I either need to be hold myself accountable and be convicted of this and change and try to work through this, or I need somebody to tell me, Ben, you're not completely wrong, or maybe you're completely right. And when people self-describe themselves, it's really, really annoying to me.
So interesting that this is such a pet peeve of yours. It's just I haven't thought of it much, so I wish I had a better answer, but... You're right. I don't go around saying like, I'm a good person. I would never, I don't think I would say that.
Yeah. You hear it all the time. You hear it on the show a lot. You saw it on this week's episode. This is where it kind of comes from too. I want to tie it into this week's episode a little bit. You heard it a lot where people self-describe themselves. They sit down with Becca and they get 5 minutes. And the very first thing they say is, you know, I'm just a very open person.
Yeah.
Or hey, I'm one of those people that really like to laugh. It's like, well, of course you like to laugh. Like, are you human?
Oh my God. Don't. Now that's a pet peeve of mine when people say, I like to have a good time. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, who does not like to have a good time? To me, when you say that, that means like you like to party. That's like code for I drink a bit.
Or like, it just doesn't, like, I don't know, Ash. It just, I need to work through this. I need to work through it with you and our listeners. I need to figure out how to either get over this, to let it stop bothering me so much, or to just continue to fight the good fight against people self-promoting and self-describing themselves. I don't get it. And I mean, I don't know. Maybe make your actions speak for your, you know, speak before your words.
Can you see my face right now?
No, I can't.
Oh, well, it's like, I'm like, have such a face of ponder right now because it's something I never think about. But when you, when you're saying this, like, I'm an open person, I'm this, I'm that, I'm like, that is pretty weird to say about yourself, especially to someone that you're still meeting. If you're like talking to your friends and you're talking about like your qualities to your friends, I think it's a little bit different. But if you're introducing yourself like that, it's weird.
It's very odd. Anyways, write us your opinions. Let's talk about it next week. Let's break down some emails on people self-describing themselves in a positive light, not even in a negative light. Just don't let people form their own opinions. You don't need to tell them that you're somebody that really likes to have a good time. Hey, I'm somebody that really loves to laugh. Like, weirdos.
I'm a really genuine person.
I'm a really genuine person. Like, you know, I don't like controversy. I don't like drama. Oh, come on. You like drama a little bit. We all do. That's why we have a podcast and you're listening to it right now. hey, Ashley, speaking of drama, we got to confront a situation.
We do?
The last week, I got the opportunity to spend 5 days at the Indianapolis 500. I was there for a long time. I was there with Andretti Autosports, Relay Rewards, and the Indianapolis 500 itself. It's a huge event, and I'm not going to go into the details. It has a ton of tradition. It means a lot to me. My grandfather was a big fan of the race, and so obviously with him passing, this was a big deal for us to get to go to. At the race, though, this is the thing that ties back here, I was able to spend an evening and an afternoon with Ari and Lauren, and I will tell you one thing. I really want to see him make it. Really bad. I really do. Here's the thing. I can tell that this whole thing's weighing on them, which obviously it would. They didn't say this. I think they feel hated on, and which isn't like, oh, crazy. Like, no, of course not. Yeah, they've taken some heat, and I think it's weighing on them. They seem really happy. They seem super supportive of each other. When they looked at each other, they're looking at each other like you and Jared do. It's just that kind of like there's nobody else in the room, and all I want to do is hear you talk or hear your voice or put my lips around your lips, that kind of thing. but I can tell that this whole thing, they brought them together. So let's give the show that benefit. But I can tell that this is weighing on them a little bit. And I just want to say this now. They were nothing but incredible to me. We had a really good time. I got to talk to Lauren for a while. She is a sweetheart and, just very engaged in conversation, was not too good to talk to me, you know, was not kind of when I was talking and when she was talking, she was completely engaged in the conversation. I don't know. I'm a big fan of them and I think they've been through enough now. So can we ask all of our listeners, I mean, do you support this, Ashley, just to now get on the Ari and Lauren train?
Totally. Yes, I mean, it is sad to see how disinterested Bachelor Nation is in them when I really do think that they're going to be married forever. I do. I think that they're meant to be.
Yeah. And, you know, Ari's family was there with them. And so I got to see that dynamic and see that, you know, this is what people forget and what we forget sometimes is that this really does affect real life relationships. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the family was there and they were all, you know, celebrating and together at the Andretti Autosports party that we were at. I think now we've given him enough heat. We've criticized Ari for his decisions, which is fair. We will continue to do that. We don't think what he did was right. We don't think he did it the right way. But now we've expressed it. We've done it. Now let's promote it and support it. And the Almost Famous podcast is now fans and always have been, but now outspoken supporters of the Ari and Lauren relationship.
Ben, we've been going to so many events lately. And I'm running out of things to wear. What about you?
Same. Yeah. Samesies.
Well, I'm sorry you can't use my solution. It's Latote. It's just for girls. I love Latote because they basically make they eliminate the mall and allow me to online shop, but in a way that things can, if they don't fit, it's no big deal and I can just return right away. And I don't have to commit to buying a piece without trying it on, like, you know, most online retailers. And then there's also like the fit issue, because a lot of the times when you order stuff online, you have no idea if it's going to fit. And Le Tote is so good about that, because if it doesn't, you just send it right back and they send you another size, or they send you a different outfit. It's whatever you want. It takes the stress out of getting dressed. They get the right styles in your size delivered. And when you're done, you just send it back. So basically, you don't have to commit to buying anything. Like, you can go out and wear it to one event, and then once it's done and it's on Instagram and you don't want to wear it again, you just send it back and they send you more stuff. Women return up to 40 to 70% of the clothing they buy. And Le Tote created their own universal sizing system to fit all brands, because every brand has different sizing. Like, if I go to Gap, I'm one size, but if I go to House of CB, I'm another size. So Le Tote makes sure that you're getting the right size based on your brand. You know, that's also very exciting when something fits perfectly. And Le Tote, they make sure that you feel confident in fitting in your clothes. So they're going to do everything they can to get it perfect for you. With Le Tote, you can refresh your fashion monthly. You can wear it, return it, and discover fashion that fits you better. It'll take the stress out of getting dressed. So just go to letote.com. That is L-E-T-O-T-E.com to get started. You're going to enter our promo code, which is get it at checkout, and get 50% off your first month. Again, that is letote.com. Enter our code almostfamous and get fashion right to your door that fits you, guaranteed.
All right, this week's episode was one to remember. It's your typical week two episode. Drama starts.
Classic.
Love starts to blossom. We start to see all of the Bachelor and Bachelorette's little tendencies. Let's call them that. My tendency, I licked my lips a lot, and I did, and I said, amazing, you're amazing. We're seeing Becca's little tendency. She says, I don't want to lie. I'm not going to lie, but I like you. I'm not going to lie, but this is fun. I'm not going to lie, but you need to go home. isn't it crazy, Ashley, that when you put yourself on television, you do start to see the tendencies in your nervous tics. Mine was licking my lips. I licked my lips all the time.
My thing, like, on the podcast is saying the thing is.
Mm-hmm. What's mine? I'm going to say... let's be honest.
Yeah, or, you say let's be honest.
Let's be honest.
Here's the deal. Podcast.
Here's the deal. I like talking to you, Ash. So Becca's is, I'm not gonna lie. Watch for it. Maybe, you know, have a drink or do a push up every time I'm not gonna lie is said. All right, moving into this week's episode. We're gonna grade Becca.
Okay.
A to F
on
how she's doing so far as the Bachelorette. Ashley, be critical, be tough. What would you give her?
I give her a B.
Okay.
Because everything's just like, I don't know. Everything's like sweet, but there's no spice.
I think there's gonna be some spice later. You know, I would give her a B as well. I would disagree with you on the spice. You know why?
Why?
Because I saw her make out with Blake, and it was intense.
I liked her make out with, was it Jean Blanc? I think that was a good kiss.
That was good. When you just hear the name Jean Blanc, does it just sound like a guy or a girl or whatever, a name that you want to make out with?
Totally.
Jean Blanc.
Yeah.
It just does. You just want to wrap your lips all around a Jean Blanc.
And he smells good too. Remember, he's cologne man.
Yeah, that's impressive. We didn't highlight that enough. I'm in favor of somebody that takes pride in their scent.
Becca needs a man who smells good. That was such an edit.
Ashley, what's your scent?
What is my scent?
Yeah.
What is my favorite?
Just on a normal day, right? Okay, let's do two different things. We all have this. And anybody listening out there, join this little game. Write us right now. Let's go to, if you're going on a date night with Jared, what are you wearing?
I'll just tell you what my favorite scent is, because I don't remember the actual, I think it's called Summer Night or Summer Eve. I don't know what it's called, but I love anything that's like summery or smells beachy. So one of my favorites is Bobbi Brown. I think it's called Beach. So it smells like coconut, suntan lotion, sand, all that is what will make me feel all the feels.
Bobby Brown as in like the singer?
No, Bobby Brown, the makeup line.
No clue. Okay. Ashley, if you're coming into iHeart Studios to do the podcast, what do you smell like?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No, I don't put perfume on unless it's like a night out.
Okay.
What do you fair. Do you?
No. You know, I've gotten into this thing. I wear secret deodorant. It's a big deal for me.
It's a big deal for you?
Yeah, I switched over back in the day when I was reading all this stuff about how deodorants are bad for you, and one of the only good ones is secret. So I just I prop a little secret on. If I'm going out to eat, you know, going to a fancy restaurant, it's a little Bulgari, I think it's called. It's not spelled like that. I have no clue how you spell it. The name's all weird. I get it at Nordstrom Rack. Big fan of the Rack.
Yeah.
So I go to Nordstrom Rack, buy my cologne. I like to smell good. But of course, a guy with the name of Jean Blanc would smell good. Also, okay. So she has a steamy makeout session with Blake. It's intense. I mean, I think we can all say that was... That was something where it didn't matter if cameras around or not. They were going to go at it.
Oh, wait. That was really hot when she was like, okay, before you leave. And then she got him against the wall.
Yeah. So that brings up the question. And some of our listeners have written in already about it. Is it appropriate for the woman to make that move?
Oh, hells yeah.
Hells yes, I think so. Wow, that's steamy.
That was hot. Yeah, it's so hot when the girl does it because it takes a little bit more guts and courage for the girl to do it. So that means she really wants it.
Now, it's a little bit out of character, right, for Becca, do you think?
I would say so. Yeah, she's a little more timid.
Mm-hmm. But Blake, do you think Blake should have made that move? Or just was he going to? I mean, they were walking out pretty confidently, it looked like, off into the sunset. Was he going to push her up against the wall? And
probably not against the wall, but he probably would have kissed her. They have been kissing all day long. You know that, right?
Yeah, I'm sure they have. But that was a special, special moment.
Mm-hmm.
That was intense, and she had the hand around the head. He had the hand around the head. There was like this, you know, whatever you call it. It's like the worm standing up. You know, you're like kind of just like both like grooving as you make out.
Okay, you're right. That was a spicy scene.
Spicy scene. So going off of the makeout, I think Becca's doing great. She's fine. I'm a big Becca fan. You know that.
I know that. I know that.
But it seems like this episode, and no judgment. Good for her, but we have to point out, because we do it every season, Becca had her way with a few, you know, she made out with a lot of people this week.
She's getting up there. Yeah, I bet you we didn't even see a lot of the kisses.
Yeah, you know, it's hard, I think, as the bachelorette. How do you turn that down? Because you're not against it, you know, but it's weird to be making out with people all night, every night, like person after person after person. It does wear on you a bit. You know which makeout scene I did not expect to see?
I don't know what you didn't expect to see, but I know which one didn't look as great to me.
Clay.
Oh my God. I didn't expect that at all.
I did the hands over the face thing, Ash.
How did they even evolve to being able to kiss each other? Like, they didn't seem to have anything romantic.
Yeah, it was such an awkward scene where he like did this little dance and then it was just too much. And I did that, you know, we've talked about it, like where I have to turn my head and cover my eyes because it just makes me feel all sorts of weird.
That one was very awkward, but she seemed to be totally expecting it. Like, she didn't think it was weird, but just the audience did.
Yeah. Maybe if you watch, I think anytime you watch something from a distance, it's weird. Who did you not expect?
I expected her to kiss Lincoln, but I thought it would be a better kiss.
How was it bad?
It was just, it seemed just like very piecey, if that makes sense. It wasn't like a fluid motion.
Yeah, you know, okay. So this is a good segue for us. We're going to have Sarah Herron on here in a little bit, and we're going to talk, we're going to dig into a couple of these Bachelor topics from this week's episode. But one that we can't skip over is the Lincoln versus Connor controversy or fight. Is it wrong of me, Ashley, to feel like Connor was definitely too aggressive? But I was feeling him. I was annoyed.
I can't figure out Lincoln yet, so I almost don't even want to talk about him yet. Like, my opinions on Lincoln, like, is he a good guy or a bad guy? It is yet to be determined. It could really swing either way. But Connor, I know, is ridiculous. Come on. The way he reacted was as if he were a bully on the playground.
I get it. But I was annoyed also, so maybe that's where I was like, I get it, Connor, but odd for you to throw it out. And just odd for you to let it bother you so much. Lincoln got under his skin.
He was so aggressive about it. I'm like, what kind of anger do you have in your soul from you to react about this man who is being foolish in the first place? The dude is kissing and talking to a picture. So you should probably be making fun of him and not be so angry.
So weird. I hope people would make fun of me if I was talking to a picture, because I hope everybody behind my back would be like, that Ben dude is odd. Like, he is a weird cat. Okay, so if we break this down, are you team Lincoln or team Connor?
Well, I would like to say that I'm not really a fan of either.
Not an option.
Okay, fine. In this battle, I would pick Lincoln. Pick Connor. Wow.
I know. Maybe it said something about me and my character. I told you I react terribly to situations sometimes. But here's the thing. I thought Lincoln overreacted. Do you agree with that? I mean, he was crying.
Like, it was weird.
It was weird, right? I mean, I don't know his backstory. And I know that he really was excited about showing his mom this picture. Trust me, I'm close with my mom. Think she's a great lady. Love to show off cool things to her. Love to show off pictures of me. Paintings I've done, you know, it's ever since elementary school, I've always been a big fan of showing my mom arts and crafts that I've accomplished. It's a little bit odd to me that he was so emotional.
Maybe he's a really emotional guy, but it was weird. And when he did say, I want to show my mom, that was the only line that made me go, Oh, that's sad. No, it did. Okay. That made me go, oh, okay. Maybe I get it now. I don't know.
So here, this digs in a little bit, and you're the expert, you know, because you're in a relationship and all, and love and stuff.
Stop now.
Is it attractive
when a man cries?
Or is it? Well, no. Well, not when a man cries, because there's a thousand reasons why men cry. I like guy crying.
Yeah.
Okay, so when Lincoln goes, I want to show my mom.
Yeah.
In whatever context he was crying and he said it. And you go, oh, that's sweet. Is that an attractive sweet, or is it a turnoff? And like a more like, oh, that's just sweet. Like, good. That's tough. I want to console him because he's hurt.
Seeing it on TV, I go, aw. But if Jared were to do that, like if he cried over a destroyed picture of us because he wanted to show his mom, I'd be like, Jared, come on now.
Yeah. Like, you would give him some tough love and be like, Jared, come on. Hey, I know this isn't ideal.
We'll print the picture again.
Yeah, we can. Well, hey, let's remake this picture. It's out there in the stratosphere. We'll redo this, right? Like, you give him some tough love because you care about him. You love him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that too. It seems like Lincoln needed a little tough love there. I have a feeling, I'd have no clue if I'm right or wrong, that this isn't the last controversy Lincoln's involved in.
I agree. I think it's going to be maybe something each week that he gets overly sensitive about.
Yeah. You know, we all have to work on it. I'm a sensitive guy. I get hurt.
Yeah, obviously I can't speak either.
But I would say this one was weird.
Okay.
It was a little odd to me. It was a little much. And I'll leave it at that. Okay. Moving on. Breaking down the dodgeball date. Ashley, I would say this. Maybe I'm crazy here. This was one of the best dates ever done by The Bachelor.
Wait, that is so funny, because I thought it was a snooze fest. I was on my phone the entire time.
No way.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
I'm like, it was so good.
I don't need to see you guys competing in sports. It doesn't say anything to me. I don't learn anything, except for I did learn that Leo is like kind of self-aware and he was playing along and it was funny.
Yeah, that was funny. He was good. He's an athlete too. He played for UCLA baseball, I heard.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. But yeah, no, I was totally bored during this part of the day. I don't know. It's just something that like I think would be so much fun if you were there and playing, but not super visually compelling for the audience.
Weird. I thought it was one of the best dates ever done. I thought this episode was incredible. I thought the date just crushing things, even if it wasn't, you know, Ari or not. I thought that was amazing. The slow-mo video of it was just really well done. And the dodgeball day, having Chris Harrison up there commentating, it just threw me back to one of my favorite movies of all time, obviously, Dodgeball.
It should be mentioned that I was at that date, at the demolition date, where they crushed all of Ari's stuff. And it was cool because I got to interview Little John for a couple of minutes, and The Bachelor has apparently been trying to get him on the show for years, and they could never come up with the right timing or creative. And then finally they worked this out, and Little John was like, yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. No, I thought it really was such a fun day, and I'm always impressed year over year over year. And we have to give the show credit for this. That this date team continues to come up with new and interesting, engaging concepts. And I'm all for them repeating dates. We don't need new, fresh dates every season, every year. I don't mind them pulling back old dates in the past. I think that's a fine thing to
do. Me neither.
But it is impressive that they continue to come up with new ideas. These people all must be married. They're great daters. All right, we're going to dig in now, right before we bring Sarah on, to the biggest controversy within this podcast,
mm-hmm.
or within this episode.
Mm-hmm.
One that we have a lot to talk about, one that's not going to be leaving anytime soon, I don't think,
mm-mm.
because we see it in the previews from the season. Colton drops a bomb on Bachelor Nation. He drops a bomb on Becca by saying that he dated for a weekend Tia.
A weekend?
For a weekend. He said we had a weekend together.
Oh, I missed that line.
Yeah, they had a weekend together. So they're obviously talking. I think the backstory to this is they were talking, they were chatting, they were messaging, which happens all the time in Bachelor Nation, especially amongst contestants. And then at some point they met up. They met up in person for a weekend together, and it didn't go well. And he decided to still go on the show to pursue Becca because his relationship with Tia was not blossoming. To start this out, Ashley, is this weird for you? Do you have a problem with it? And if you put yourself in the in Becca's shoes, how do you respond?
There's so many questions to be asked here. Why did he reach out to Tia in the first place? Did he reach out to Tia? What was the extent of their relationship? How long did they talk for?
Ooh.
How long did he reach out to Tia because he thought that she would be the bachelorette? And why did things not work out with Tia? Is it because he got the final call to be on the show? Or is it and he wanted to go on the show? Or did he really just not feel her? And it will be so, so interesting if Colton isn't the final standing guy and he's on Paradise. And I think we can basically say, we can confirm that I think Tia is on Paradise.
Yeah, I mean, that would be insane. Are you kidding me? What better storyline to follow into Paradise is? Will Tia and Colton revive the romance that once was? But there's so many unanswered questions here.
I like Colton a lot, but in the way that I am maybe disillusioned by his appearance and charm. And I feel like if this were a random guy, if this were a guy named Jason or Ryan, who you guys probably don't even know who they are right now, would she say, she would probably be like, oh, you dated my friend and then you came on the show to date me? Goodbye. But Colton, he gets the pass because of his looks and charm. Just my opinion.
He's that good looking.
I don't know. I don't know. Don't you think that he's like the best looking guy there?
Yeah. I mean, it's the Bachelorette. So they're all really good looking. Yeah, I think he stands out, right? He's tall.
He has
strong.
A presence.
He has a presence. I definitely think Colton stands out amongst the crowd when it comes to just his overall presence and his aura, which begs a question. I think if on the first night, if we were to watch this, just like anybody, we would assume Colton's going to be around a while. And if he wasn't, we'd be confused. Kind of like we were confused, honestly, with the grocery guy from Chicago. We thought that guy's a presence, super good looking, going to be around a while. But then he went home. So I actually, at this point, I have no idea what Becca's going to do with Colton. But I would say that this would feel weird to me.
It's definitely, I can't say that I wouldn't react the way she did. She and I are totally would respond the exact same way. Her face went dark. She like lost her smile and her light for like the first time in the episode. And because you could tell how interested she was in Colton. And this is a blow to like their potential relationship.
So Ashley, let's dig in deep a little bit. Let's go behind the scenes. I wish we had theme music for when we want to go to behind the scenes. If we laid down the timeline, do we really think that Becca didn't know that Colton and Tia had a thing? She was announced at The Bachelorette. She was still in the public eye. She was able to communicate with her friends for a while. Colton probably was, you know, aware that he was going to be on the show. I don't know this, but do you really think that she didn't know that Tia and this guy had a thing when she went on to be the Bachelorette?
Yeah, I don't think she knew.
Wow.
I think that he must not have told Tia that he got the final call, right?
Oh my gosh. Maybe. I don't know. I was thinking like, hey, I know how this plays out. Your closest friends probably know you're on the show. Maybe not. Maybe he didn't tell anybody. I'm interested to see how this plays out. Here's one thing I think should happen.
Hmm.
Because we haven't seen any other episodes. I hope Tia handles this responsibly. Like, I hope she doesn't make this a thing. Because it doesn't sound like it needs to be a thing with Tia anymore. It sounds like it needs to be a thing with Becca and Colton.
Yeah, totally.
So it's interesting with Tia being so close to Becca, being associated in the show. I'm assuming in Paradise or something, you know, Colton and Tia will have a conversation. It just sounds like a breakup between Colton and Tia And now it's between Colton and Becca to see where it plays out. I just hope Tia doesn't make this anything more than it is.
I don't think she will.
Yeah.
I don't think she will, but if they're in paradise together, I can see her accusing Colton of leaving her and stopping that relationship in order for him to get fame and notoriety by being part of the Bachelorette.
Oh.
Everything's a little sketch, but we will see it play out, and it's going to be juicy for all of us.
Speaking of juicy, hey, are you ready for a juicy summer? A summer full of fun, fitness, and fabulousness? Well, if you are, we got just the product for you. It's the FabFitFun Summer Box.
Woo-hoo!
School out where you live, summer is here. And so is the FabFitFun Summer Box. Of course, FabFitFun is a seasonal subscription box with full-size beauty, fitness, fashion, and lifestyle products. FabFitFun delivers a box of full-size fashion, beauty, home fitness, and wellness products 4 times a year for just $49.99, a box of full-size products for $49.99. No samples of anything. Here's what you got to listen. Here's where the value comes in. This is why Ashley and I support it, why we get it personally. It's a fantastic value. Many products' individual value is more than the entire cost of the box. For example, the Furio Luna Fofo retail value is $89. And the total retail value of the summer box is, wait for it, over $320.
It's actually the best box. It's actually the best box.
It's insane. They get better and better. It's really incredible. I'm saying this. If you're into these products and you're gonna buy these products, it's kind of like the coffee that we sell. If you're going to buy these products, why not buy them through FabFitFun? You're getting a discount. It's a deal. It's a steal in a sense. Here are just some of the contents of the current box. Listen carefully. The Yumi Kim Makeup Train Case. The Furio Luna Fofo. The Pier 1 Imports Marble Ring Dish. Summer and Rose Beach Towel. Tarte Beauty Products. Some people that you might recognize that support this product and get it personally. Some of the super popular, super loved, super well-known people. Ashley Iaconetti. Ashley Simpson. Khloe Kardashian, Bethany Frankel, Martina McBride, Ashley Tisdale, Nikki Reed. They all love the FabFitFun box. Add your name to this list right now. We'll say it. Email us if you get the FabFitFun box. Maybe next week we'll say your name in this thing. I don't know. Sign up for the FabFitFun box today to get the summer box. It is in limited supply. All these boxes always sell out. Use the code ALMOSTFAMOUS to get $10 off your first box. Go to FabFitFun.com to sign up and start getting the box for a life well lived. Use promo code ALMOSTFAMOUS to get $10 off your first box. That's over $200 for only $39.99. Ashley, how much was it?
It is $39.99 with our code ALMOSTFAMOUS.
Go to FabFitFun.com and get $10 off your first FabFitFun box with our code ALMOSTFAMOUS today. Do it. It's worth it. Speaking of somebody that loves FabFitFun, we have one of the special guests that always comes on this podcast that we support and love dearly, that is doing amazing things in this world for so many people, and we're excited to hear about it. Sarah Heron, are you out there?
I'm here. Thank you.
Sarah!
Hey, Sarah.
Oh, my gosh. Hi, guys. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I mean, you guys are better than great. Ashley, you're definitely better than great right now.
Aw, thank you. That is true. My life is hit a pinnacle, and I keep being worried because... Could it be better? Probably not. It's downhill from here.
No, girl. I mean, this is what everyone's been waiting for and so happy to see happen for you finally. So just soak it up.
So long. She just waited and made us all just say, is it ever going to happen? Are they ever going to find love? Is Ashley going to marry somebody else? And Jared's going to be, alone forever. Just absolutely selfish on both their parts.
Totally.
Sarah. Thanks for coming on the podcast. We have a lot to talk to you about today. One thing I want to start out with saying is we want to break down this week's episode and kind of Becca as a bachelorette.
Yeah. But
before we do, I got a great email, and I actually just texted you this morning from somebody who's a friend of mine. She's a great person. Awesome person. She is writing an article. She is a writer for a couple magazines on a few people. I guess she's trying to find the only people that have participated in Bachelor Nation who have then gone on to start their own nonprofits. And you're one of those people. And so let's start this podcast out in your segment by talking a little bit more about what you're doing with the SheLift program.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Thank you for thinking of me for that. SheLift has definitely been a labor of love. for the past 2 years. I decided to start an organization that helps girls with physical differences discover confidence and self-esteem through outdoor recreation, because ever since I appeared on The Bachelor, I felt compelled to help girls that were in similar situations to me, as me, that were struggling with self-esteem. And that can range from everything from like physical activities to dating and just body image issues. And I really wanted to find a way to connect girls who are going through the same struggles with one another and to build that community. So it's been 2 years and it's been totally rewarding, but so, so hard and challenging, but it's like, it's my life's work and I'm obsessed with it now.
Is this your full-time job?
It is my full-time job, but I mean, doing nonprofits is obviously, you know, it's tough and we don't make a lot of money. And so it's like definitely my 100% focus, but you know, I am a graphic designer and I'm a freelance art director first and foremost. That was my job like way before I ever went on The Bachelor. So, yeah, I'm just kind of like a content maker and creator as far as my like income goes, I guess you could say, but SheLift is my side project, my passion project.
And you just started a podcast.
I did. So I started the SheLift podcast, which is an extension of the organization, but it's a little bit broader. So every week we're interviewing women who are using their platforms and projects or even just talent to inspire good and change in the world. So I have guests lined up, you know, who might have a celebrity following and a huge impact, all the way to just your everyday woman who's trying to do something to make an impact and a change for society. So we're talking about a lot of creative projects, a lot of just social impact projects and campaigns. And I'm obsessed with podcasting. I'm having so much fun. It's been a trip.
That's awesome. Do you ever talk about The Bachelor? Because we're going to make you.
Yeah, I mean, of course, like I'm not one of those people who went on The Bachelor and then stopped watching it. Like, I still love the franchise and I love talking about it. So, you know, it's definitely sprinkled in there.
Did you watch this week's episode?
Of course. Of course. And I will have you know, I'm camping right now. I'm in the Grand Canyon and I still was like, we have to stop in this town where I can have Wi-Fi to watch this right now. So I make it work wherever I am.
That's amazing. You are always on an adventure and you're always with your new love. Well, it's not a new love anymore. It's a year long love. And
yeah.
I think you're soulmate and you're forever person, huh?
Yeah, we definitely lead a really crazy lifestyle. And I mean, it's exhausting. Traveling, I'm not going to complain about it. I love it. But it's, I'm sitting in a sweatbox right now of like 104 degrees in the middle of Arizona. It's insane. But yeah, I'm so in love and happy to be doing what I'm doing. And I couldn't ask for anything better.
If you were Becca and your boyfriend wasn't in the picture, which of these guys would have made, would have given your first impression rose to?
Oh gosh. Okay. Honestly, I think I also would have chose Garrett because I'm always drawn to the funny guys. Somebody that's, you know, a little bit quirky and, can make me laugh or just catch me off guard, a little unexpected. So I'm like so far right in line with Becca. Who would you if you were obsessed with Jared?
Good question.
If the question applies to you.
I'm pretty much up there with Becca too. I think like the three guys that I would pay most attention to would be Garrett, Blake, and Colton.
Yeah, I know. Well, Colton, so he's a Denver guy. Do you know him, Ben?
I do. Yeah. I do know him. Not super well. I know him enough. And he's great. I mean, he's good. We went to a wedding together. He runs a great foundation. He's one of the four people that have started a nonprofit that have participated in the franchise.
Yeah.
He's good looking, like Ash and I were just talking about. I mean, I think he's up there. Obviously, he is a front runner on this season. I'm a big fan of the grocer. I liked him.
Oh.
Last year, when Ari was The Bachelor, I wrote down my top five women, and he let three of the five go on the first night.
That seems to be your tendency.
Yeah, I'm a big night one go homer.
Wait, like but you know who Colton reminds me of? Like every time I look at him, I think bears striking resemblance to Ben Scott. Do you remember Ben from Desiree season?
No, he reminds me of Chris Pratt.
Oh, that's nice.
Really? Is Chris okay? Here, okay. Let's go off on a little side tangent. Let's not take too long here. The Chris Pratt obsession. Is he that good looking?
No.
I think it like changed. I think yes. I think he's very attractive.
I think he's a little overdone, but I do think he's sexy because he's funny, and you like the guy who's funny and you can hang out with that overcame his like chub phase. Because he is pretty striking in Jurassic Park when he's all tan and sweaty.
Yeah, I thought he was great. I like him because he's like kind of, he's like everyday guy kind of look. You know what I mean?
Right. Like in Avengers, when he's next to Chris Hemsworth, you're like, oh, wow, poor Chris Pratt. but any other time.
But see, like, if it were real life, like, there's no way I would ever have, I just wouldn't even feel like I could strike up a conversation with a Hemsworth, but I could feel like I could hold my own with Chris Pratt.
I met Chris Hemsworth last week at the Indy 500, and I got nervous. Like, that's, like, it got weird. I did. the guy's beautiful. He shines. Like, light reflects off of him because he's so good looking. Sarah, what is one storyline right now during the Bachelorette season that you're most intrigued to follow?
That's a really good question. I'm always really intrigued just to follow the Colorado people. So I think we have
a lot
like
of
three.
Them.
Yeah. Especially because Blake is from Bailey, Colorado, which is the town next to the town I grew up in, which is Evergreen, Colorado. So I'm just like naturally interested to see where that goes. But as far as people, there's something about, I think Jordan is going to be an entertaining one, but he's driving me crazy already. and I don't mean that in a bad way, but I don't know if anyone totally hooked me yet. Do you guys have someone?
I mean, I think there's a couple storylines. The Colton situation right now with dating Tia. Super excited to follow that.
Yeah.
Very intrigued by that. You know, this whole Lincoln thing. I don't get the guy.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't get it. But here's one thing I'm confused about. I have watched this show now for a long time, but a part of it for a long time. There has never been anybody I've watched a show and felt like they are more of a character than Jordan.
Jordan, I agree.
Yeah, he seems to be so much of a character. Like, he doesn't seem to be real. And we've watched this show many times and been like, oh, there's the villain. Oh, there's the person that says wild things. Oh, there's the person that's annoying. Do you both feel like Jordan's just a character?
He feels like Corinne to me.
But.
Yeah, and I am curious if it's like, is he aware or is it intentional? You know what I mean? Is he playing it up because he knows he's going to get that edit, if you will, or just that fake feedback? Or is he like completely not self-aware of?
I think he's totally self-aware.
You think so?
Yeah.
Lincoln is another good one to talk about, though, because when I watched his hometown package, he was a standout to me. Like, I was like, oh, I'm super intrigued by this guy. And then this week I just felt like, yeah, this is not going well. Like, there's something a little skeevy, cheaty going on about like his intentions, or I'm not really sure, but that storyline I think is going to get weird.
Sarah, that happened to me too, because I saw him on After the Final Rose and I was like, oh wow, that's a front runner. And then I met him in real life and I was like, I don't think so anymore.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Dang. Yeah. I mean, his hometown package is like such a seller. So that's too bad. But I mean, I'm still excited to see where it goes. Obviously, the drama is crazy. I did think it was funny when the guys won the dodgeball game and then they brought the trophy back to the group date and they were like, is it okay if we leave the trophy sitting here on the table? Is that going to offend you guys? I thought that was funny. Whoever said that.
So good. This season, last year at this time, we're two episodes in, Ari was the Bachelor. we're sitting here on this podcast, we're saying, okay, we don't get it. We're not into it. We don't know where this is going. Do you all, what do you think? I mean, outside of this being the Bachelor app, and else, I mean, is this a good season so far? Or like, are we engaged? Are we into it already after week two?
Do you want me to answer first or do you want to?
I think you should.
Okay. I think it always is a little bit of a slow roll every season.
Okay.
And so I think it's early. It's everyone is still super amped up on the new season of The Bachelorette. And so it's like, we're tuning in, but I don't think there has been any like major hook yet, but I think it'll come. It's just always hard with the first few episodes. So no, I don't think there's been anything crazy to like reel us in yet, but maybe that's just because Becca's not like crazy. I mean, you guys have met her, you know, she seems like a pretty down to earth, well-rounded, awesome chick that isn't just going to have like a group of like, you know, crazy dudes.
I don't know. Ashley, what do you think?
I kind of agree with her. Like, she's going to be so even keeled. We definitely need the guys to bring the drama. So we'll see which guy comes out of the woodwork to be the drama queen. Because Jordan's just going to be so silly, and he's just playing the role. And I think she knows he's playing the role. And then we just need like a villain to emerge.
Who do you think it is?
I think it might be Lincoln.
Yeah.
Or Lincoln and Connor drama the entire time.
Oh. Is there anyone we can picture being in Paradise already? Like, no spoilers. I don't know. But I feel like Lincoln will for sure be in Paradise if he doesn't make it to the end.
Oh, yeah. And Connor. Connor, actually, yes. And then definitely Colton, since he has some drama with Dia, if he doesn't make it all the way.
Sure. Oh, my gosh.
I look at these guys. Here's the thing. This is why I don't go on Paradise. I look at all these guys right now. Their episode where they're all shirtless. I don't know how people get so many things that pop out of so many places on a human body. There's so many abs, and they all should go on Paradise. I mean, just to inspire me, I need to sit on my couch with my Halo Top ice cream, pounding it, and just going, yeah, that's going to be me one day. I might be 29, but one day you'll see me in Paradise straight plexing on these dudes. Hey, Sarah, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We always appreciate you. Before you go, you're starting the She Lift podcast, or you've already started. It's in the running. Where can people find it?
Yeah, you can find it on iTunes and Google Play, soon to be Spotify, I promise. We've only had a couple episodes out, so please be sure to subscribe and rate and review it. And Ashley, you're going to come on my show, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I have to have you on. And Ben, I would love to, like, I mean, we had Leslie Murphy on, who actually gave Generous Coffee a great shout out, and all the work that she had been doing with you guys down in Honduras with Hope for Humanity. So lots of goodness going on. And thank you guys so much. It's the She Lift podcast.
Awesome. Well, hey, make sure you go out there, support Sarah Herron and the She Lift podcast, support the organization, support what she's doing. She's awesome. She's incredible. She is a world changer, a life changer, a game changer. Everybody, round of applause. Thank you, Sarah Herron, for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, guys. Thanks so much.
Ashley, our favorite time of year is when we get to read reader emails. And that's what we're going to do right now. I don't think we missed anything about the episode. If we did, please write us in at BenandAshley@iHeartMedia.com. You guys never lack to give us really great criticism, really great love and feedback. So if we've missed anything this episode, please let us know. We want to hear your opinions, your thoughts, your reviews. I don't know. Just tell Ashley you're happy for. Everybody else is. And I'm Benino. So, hey, Ash, I know we got a couple emails that we really want to touch on before we go. I got to read one for you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Three Questions About Jashley. What in the Jashley? Is that you, Jared Nash? That's what we're calling you?
Yeah.
Jashley? Mm-hmm. That's so sweet. Oh my God. I'm a little bitter. You know, I'm bitter because you made me wait for so long for this. This is just sitting here. I'm like, man, the last 2 years of my life could have been so much less stressful if you and Jared just would have got together then. Instead, you made me wait.
Well, yeah. Imagine my life.
I can't.
I'm going to die alone.
Yeah, but then we never would have been able to do a show together. And I'm glad we got that opportunity.
Me too.
That was nice. I enjoyed that couple weeks with you. So anyways, okay. Says from Diana, I listened to this week's podcast and I am so happy for Ashley and Jared. Oh, surprise, surprise. It honestly is the closest thing to a chick flick come to life. And I would definitely watch a movie based on your story if it was made. I guess my question was sort of alluded to in the story of us, but not really answered. Since you guys have been dating for a couple of months now, it basically coincides pretty well with Ashley and Kevin's relationship ending. So my question is, if Jared hadn't come around and told Ashley his feelings, would Kevin and Ashley have kept dating? Essentially, did Ashley and Kevin break up because of Jared? Such a good question, Ashley. One that I think we all, you know, would love an answer to. Mm-hmm. And then it goes on to say this. Also, if Ashley hadn't gone on one of her games, oh, this is such a good question. Would it have taken even longer for Jared to realize his feelings? And last but not least, Ashley, was there ever a time you had completely gotten over Jared, like accepted that you guys will be best friends, but that's it? This is definitely one of the best real life love stories I've ever heard from Diana. Ashley, let me close this by saying I love this email. I think it asks a lot of questions that people have asked me, and you know, I think you have great answers to them, and they're all truthful and honest. But I do want to say that when she talks about your love story and a chick flick movie, mm-hmm. I wonder if there's ever like a subconscious thing that you've helped create this, you know, because you've always dreamed of this chick flick storytelling or this love story that, you know, you really could be a movie and you've gotten it.
Yeah.
I mean, how special are you?
I've like self-manifested it. It's so bizarre.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I just wonder that. We can diagnose that in a later podcast. Anyways, you got some questions to answer.
Okay. So Diana, you've seen the story of us, which Jared and I did, because our story has so many details and nuances that a lot of which Bachelor Nation never saw. So we wanted to kind of put it together so that people wouldn't have to necessarily ask these questions, but you seem to have watched it. And if it wasn't clear enough, then I will answer these right here, right now. Essentially, did Ashley break up with Kevin because of Jared? Absolutely not. I think my relationship with Kevin, it was wonderful in the Bachelor bubble. And then the more we hung out in real life, the more I realized that our interests were totally different. We didn't have the type of mental connection that I feel like I needed. And I would have had to break up with him, to be fair to him and his feelings, in March anyway. Would it have taken longer for Jared to realize his feelings? I wouldn't say Jared didn't realize his feelings until Winter Games. I think that Winter Games and me coming out of it with a relationship was what forced him to come out about his feelings. It was kind of the push that he needed in order to express them. It wasn't that they weren't harboring inside him. And then, did you ever get over, was there ever a time where you completely got over Jared? And yeah, I talk about this in the story of us. I did. Definitely over the past like 9 months before he came out about his feelings, I thought, I don't think this is ever going to happen, because this is not even the guy that I fell in love with in the first place, because he had gotten into such a dark hole. It was weird. He wasn't the same anymore. So then I was kind of over him as anything more than just a friend. Yeah, but like, I guess in the back of my mind, I was always like, hey, if I'm not married at 35 and he's not, then we got that marriage packed, and then we can start having kids. At least we'll have a family together and we'll enjoy each other's company. Maybe it won't be the most romantic of scenarios, but yeah, but now, but who would have thought Jared had so much romance busting inside of him?
When did you like, I mean, I've wondered this, when did it kind of, because I know that you had moved on, you kind of like, I guess, recited the fact that this wasn't going to be a thing, that you're going to be good friends for a long time. And you guys were friends. You would hang out and you wouldn't kiss. You wouldn't hug. You wouldn't do anything. Just hang out, which is always weird to me. There had to be more. But when did it finally set into you, Ashley, that like, I really like this guy. Like, I love this guy. Like, when did that, how did that process work? Was it just an overwhelming feeling once he told you, or I mean, I guess, I don't know. How does that love thing work?
Well, I always say that I was love at first sight, and like, it was an intense feeling that I had for like a year and a half, where even after Paradise 3, I knew that I had to stop feeling that, like, I needed to stop expressing things to him, because he was very clear with it's never going to happen. So then I would stop trying to like, quote, pursue it. And I just like kind of internalize it and talk to my friends about it, but I never talked to him about my feelings. And then like March of 2017 is when I feel like I lost feelings a bit. And then when he came out to me about his feelings in January, I didn't know I was going to react the way that I did, which was very positively, because people would be like, what if Jared came out about his feelings now that you're with somebody else? I was like, I'd be like, sorry, you snooze, you lose. But then when he told me, I thought, oh, you are something to me.
Yeah. I didn't know what that like giggle was. I didn't know if it was like an evil giggle, like, hey, hey, hey. Or if like, it was like, hey, Jared, I love you, man. Like, you're my dude, Jared. Okay, we're going to we want to take a second here while we read listener emails and just say thank you to our good friend, our dear friend, Susie, who is a consistent listener to the Almost Famous podcast. She's also the chairman of the Almost Famous podcast Facebook group. We appreciate Susie, and she's going through a rough time right now. We understand that, and we just want to reach out to Susie and say thank you for everything you've done for us and supporting us as people, as a podcast, which means a lot to Ash and I individually. But also just thanks for the impact you're making by building a community of people. You've done it for a lot, a large group at this point. And we know that you're struggling. We know that this is a tough season of life. You've recently lost somebody very close to you, and we just want to reach out and say we're thinking of you, praying for you, we love you, we appreciate you, you always have a community with us, and just know that you're on our thoughts and our mind. You're a huge part of this podcast. So this podcast, let's dedicate this podcast, this one, to Susie.
We love you, Susie. You love bring you, Susie. So much light into these podcast groups. You're always just smiling. I feel like everything you say is with a smile, so we love you.
Ashley, any emails that really stand out to you here?
There's one more I would like to go through.
All right.
It says, what about Rachel? It's from Tammy. Hello, Ben and Ashley. Avid listener here. I loved hearing Ashley's top five bachelorette picks from last week. However, I'm curious as to why Rachel Lindsay wasn't on the list. What were some things that you didn't like about her season? She's beautiful, well-spoken, funny, and a boss. What do you think it should have been done differently? Do you think the guys in her season were just super lame? I'm trying to wrap my brain about how the queen didn't make the cut. P.S. Ben didn't give his top five favorite picks, which is okay, but can he at least share who his favorite bachelorette of all time is? Keep killing the podcast game, guys. Ben, is your favorite bachelorette ever Caitlin?
I would have to say so. Or what if we didn't add Rachel Lindsay to the list because we were saving it for this podcast and this episode? Because my favorite bachelorette of all time is Rachel Lindsay, the queen.
Oh, wow.
No, it's Caitlin. It's Caitlin. I really like Caitlin. She's great. Caitlin's a great bachelorette. I mean, I like it. We've talked about, though. You know, you have JoJo, who I think is awesome. You know, I have a lot of respect for JoJo. You have Caitlin, who is obviously incredible. Rachel, who is the queen, who is incredible and held her ground and did a great job on a season that was tough, was really hard. You have Becca right now, who's, I think, going to crush the game. Then you go back even years to Anne. I mean, you just have bachelorette after bachelorette after bachelorette that are great. It's hard to pick just five. They've all been really good. I don't think we have one that's bad, right?
Right. As a bachelorette herself, I think Rachel really is a boss. I think she has everything going on. I think we didn't put him or her in the top five because her guys were so lame. Like, so lame that we couldn't even get a bachelor out of them. So lame that I can only think about three guys from her season. Off the top of my head right now.
Yeah, and I mean...
No, okay, never mind. Of course, now I'm thinking about the different guys, and I think about Raven and Adam Raven and Adam, they're not engaged, but, you know.
It's tough. It wasn't a great season, not because of Rachel, but because mostly the guys in our season were great. We had a couple really solid ones. But outside of that, it just was kind of one of those, it was okay.
But she is bomb.com.
Bomb.com. Speaking of bomb.com. Everybody, this has been a bomb.com podcast. We appreciate you. We have now, I think, eclipsed, I think it's 4 million total listens in our time as a podcast. Absolutely insane. Absolutely. That's bigger than the state, almost as big as the state I grew up in, Indiana, if you're wondering. Ashley, we're happy with your love story. You're still in a relationship, right?
Yes.
Okay, let us know. Let us know if that changes. Until then, hey, everybody, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.